Well, this last season, the last couple of years, has really been trying times. If there's a period of hardship in the last 20 years or so, this last couple of years would certainly qualify. A lot of people in the room this morning, there's been different times in your life that you've had to walk through some really hard and difficult times. Some of you have amazing testimonies to God's faithfulness in the deep, dark places and through very fiery, fierce, trying times. And all of us can say this last couple of years has been difficult and trying in a lot of different ways. You have been challenged in ways that this nation has never been challenged before. And we've had a lot of things to deal with. There's a lot of things going on. And obviously in times of difficulty and hardship like we're all living in these days, to certain degrees, I realize it's worse for some people than for others, but generally speaking, the things that have happened qualify for hard times. And we're tempted in these hard times to respond in different ways. Sometimes just being overwhelmed by what's going on, the voices, the noise, the economy, the pandemic and so forth. Some people just want to give in or give up. Others, because of the anger that's aroused and the frustrations that's everywhere and frustrated that things aren't going the way we'd like for them to go. And all of that can cause us just to blow up. And then being disconnected and being isolated and being pulled apart and things being shut down, and all of that can cause people just not to show up. But the truth of the matter is, as we read through the pages of God's Word and the hardships and trying times that God's people have always had to endure, we do see a common theme arise, and that is, during hard times, some of the best things can happen in our lives. And during hard times, instead of giving up or blowing up or not showing up, we can grow up and we can move up. As a matter of fact, the early church, when you begin to journey with Jesus, and then after he ascended and the Holy Spirit was poured out and the church on earth was now God's people indwelt by God's Spirit, and they begin to move with that message that there's life in Jesus and there's a resurrection even after you die, and the gospel and the kingdom message, as they begin to share that and live that and proclaim that, they were met with all kinds of hardship. But a common theme arises again. And you see Paul saying things like, forgetting those things which were behind us, which are past, we're pressing forward to the mark of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. And the writer of Hebrews says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that will get us across the finish line. And Paul wrote confidently saying, he who begun that good work in you, he will bring it to completion. And then to the Colossians who were being bombarded with all kinds of stuff, Paul wrote and said, listen, set your mind on things above, not here below. That's where Christ, who is our Lord, is seated. And then Paul, when he went into cities with the good news of Christ, he was met with hardship right, left, fore, and out. And when he went into Ephesus, Ephesus was a city that was inhabited by demons, like aggravated bees circling around an intruded hive. Ephesus was a place where pagan idolatry and ritual and worship was commonplace. It was the way of those people. It's the way they lived. It's the way they thought. It affected every parcel of their life. Yet, Paul boldly proclaimed Christ because he knew what they needed was Jesus. He later would leave Timothy at Ephesus, charge him to oversee the work there in that area. And he ended up writing, we have at least two letters that Paul wrote to young Timothy. He was younger than Paul. He was a son in the faith, a son in the ministry to the Apostle Paul. And Paul wrote to him. And Timothy had to deal with all kinds of stuff. Constantly, not only Timothy, but most every New Testament church, the things that the letters had to address was people coming in trying to change the message that they had originally been given. False doctrine kind of come in, trying to pull Jesus down and lift something else up. That's always the battle, because Jesus is the answer, and Timothy was having a hard time navigating these waters, and Paul had to encourage him to fan into flame your gift. He had to remind him, remember the faith of your mother and your grandmother. That's in you too, son. And when we get to the second letter, he's having to address more stuff that Timothy was having to deal with. And when we get to chapter 2, there's some beautiful verses. And we're going to talk today out of those verses of truth. And I'm just calling this message, Soldier On. Soldier On. Because Paul tells Timothy he's to be like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And I believe that's the word we need to hear this morning, is just soldier on. Now, for you Marines, understand it needs to be Marine on. And sailors, you sailor on. But all of us are in the Lord's army, so I'm saying to the Lord's soldiers this morning, soldier on. Okay, let's look at this and jump into the Scripture. Our Scripture today is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2. That should be 1, beginning with verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now that's a whole message there, and I'm not going to make it one, but I do want to say this. All the admonitions that precede and followed this are centered in this truth. The way we are strong is through the grace that God gives us that we're able to access through Jesus Christ. Your position as a Christian in Christ means you have access to God's grace. And I've taught on that a lot, but I just wanted to point that out. That's the source of our strength, is what God gives us, not what we muster up ourselves. God will give us what we need to muster up, to soldier on. And Paul tells Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. If he tells him to be strong, that means he can. And I'm telling you, whatever you're facing this morning and what you're having to deal with in your life, whether it's in your marriage or your finances or your health or your children or your job and dealing with grief and dealing with other kinds of hardship, whatever it is, I'm telling you that God's grace will help you and help me to be strong in Him. The Bible even says when we're weak, that becomes a stepping stone to strength for us. Acknowledging, Lord, I need you. Like Ray encouraged us last week. You know, we don't know what to do. We're looking to you. That's always the answer. He's always the answer. Okay, let's read on. Verse 2. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, because Timothy had traveled with Paul hither and yon, in and out of cities, and he had heard what Paul preached. He saw what Paul lived. He said, you've heard from me among many witnesses. Now, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So there you begin to see that mentoring, that passing on, that discipleship of sharing with others what we've learned ourselves. Verse 3, you therefore, now this is a personal word to Timothy, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. There it is, soldier on. Enduring hardship. The actual idea there is like to be, Paul is saying, Timothy, you're like a co-sufferer with me. We're going through this together. We're enduring these hardships. You therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And then, in verse 5, and also, he changes the analogy. If anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Now, he gives us one more word picture, verse 6. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Now, so there's three pictures here that Paul paints for us. Is that like one of a warring soldier, one of a competing athlete, and one of a hardworking farmer. A soldier, you want to please your commander-in-chief, the one who's enlisted you. The athlete, you want to live your life within the rules, the boundaries. The recent Olympics, we've had a lot of rule-breaking there. Those speed skaters, they thought the winner won, but the winner didn't win because of some infraction of the rules. Had a lot of controversy, but Paul is saying, you know, athletes, if they're going to compete and win, they got to play by the rules. And then the farmer, it takes a lot of patience, a lot of hard work, but you have to wait, work and wait, work and wait, work and wait. But then the crops come in, and then the farmer gets to partake of the result of his labor. So these are beautiful pictures and reminders for us during hard times. So what I want to do is I want to remind you of some things this morning. I want to call you to remember some things this morning out of this scripture in the middle of what you're facing, whatever it may be in your struggle. These are sound words for struggling saints. These truths that we're talking about today really will help us when we're being tempted not to help ourselves, not to receive help from others, and even more, not to receive what we need to from the Lord. Here's the first thing I want to share with you. I want you to remember, the Christian life can be hard. Sometimes it can be misconstrued. Our preaching can be misconstrued. And people may draw the conclusion, well, I'm a believer now. Hard times are over. I've got Jesus. Well, Jesus, when he was here, faced hard times. Hard times are a fact of life. And even the Christian life, with all its beauty and all its wonder, the Christian life, rightly lived, can be hard. Paul gets into this. All those who live godly lives in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. He straight out says that to Timothy. And we'll see that in just a little bit. I heard a quote one time that says, there are no hard and fast rules for getting ahead in this world. Only hard ones. No hard and fast ones. No fast ones. Only hard ones. The Christian life can be hard. Notice he said, therefore, you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You endure it. You go through it. You trudge on through. You soldier on. You do the next right thing. You man up. You woman up. You do what you know has to be done. You don't give up. You don't become frustrated and blow up. You don't get disconnected and fail to show up. You allow it to grow you up so that you can keep moving on up. That's the biblical pattern. So the Christian life can be hard. And usually these hardships come from a couple of things going on. Number one, someone else does something wrong, or you do something wrong. And that brings hardship into your life. We've all had hardship because of something someone else has done that's wrong. And most of us have times where other people have had hardship because of something we've done wrong. Hardship can also come because someone else is doing something right, or you're doing something right. That can bring hardship. How so? Well, there's been times in our life, because Mickey and me wanted to step out and do what God was calling us to do, it created difficult things that our whole family had to go through. Now, it's wonderful because it was God, and God gave us what we needed, but it doesn't mean it wasn't hard, it wasn't difficult, or it wasn't painful. I've heard Mickey share the story when we left the house that we had built in Haleville. I'd just finished it. We'd been in a little over a year, and we were kind of like, it was just awesome, everything that was happening, and God called us to move to Florence. And she's in at that time it was Andrew's bedroom, and Andrew, he loves wood. He loves to work with wood, and he had wood, you know, the wood on the wall, and deer head and bass mounted up there, and, you know, all the outdoor stuff, and she was in there, the kids were gone, and just thinking, you know, Lord, how can I ask him to give all this up, you know, because our kids were settled, and the Lord spoke to her and said, for the treasures of righteousness. In other words, what you're having to give up is nothing compared to what you're going to gain. The treasures of righteousness, being right, doing the right thing, doing what God's calling you to do. There's treasures in that. But it doesn't mean it won't be hard at times. Sometimes obeying God the most, at the fullest, most possible way that you can, may bring the most severe, hard things to deal with you've ever had to deal with, because you're taking territory. You're sticking your hand in the beehive. You're stirring the den of snakes. You're bringing light into darkness. And it can create difficulties. It followed Paul up and down the road. That the ground he was, it would always be contested. So sometimes it's doing what's right or someone else doing what's right that will bring hardship. But you do what? You sold your own. You sold your own. You don't give in. You don't give up. You don't blow up. You don't fail to show up. You grow up and you move up. That's what you do. Christian life can be hard. The second thing I want to share with you is the devil is your foe. Here's the way he works. He works through deception and through flesh, primarily. Through flesh, by convincing us we want things that we know God doesn't want, or responding to things in ways that he wants us to respond. We always are in dangerous territory when we let the enemy determine how we're going to wage warfare. If we wage warfare the same way the world does, then there's no difference between us and the world. And yet Paul brought a message of hope, a message of love, a message of forgiveness, a message of godliness, a message of purity, and he was headed upstream with a world going downhill. And yes, you know, he ran into the devil. The devil is your foe. If you don't occasionally run into him, you may be running with him. Notice what Paul says. Endure as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. There's a warfare. Later, Paul writes and tells Timothy, basically, I know I'm about to depart this world. I've fought a good fight. He uses it again. I've kept the faith. I've finished the course. He soldiered on. And we're called to that. And it involves fighting the good fight of faith. Fighting with the weapons of faith. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Every high and lofty thought. Everything that takes our imagination captive. Isn't it interesting that Paul teaches us there that most of our warfare is right here. Right here. As a man thinks, so is he. And so the enemy is going to target us right here. How we think. What we believe. What our perspective is. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. We believe in the power of prayer. We believe in standing on the promises of God's Word. We believe that love wins. We believe that love overcomes hate. We believe that forgiveness overcomes bitterness. We believe we advance when we manifest Christ. But the devil is out there, so he's going to deceive, he's going to move, he's going to work. Listen, I just pulled out a few scriptures out of this one letter that Paul wrote Timothy. And for instance, in later on in this same chapter, in chapter 3, verse 10, Listen to what he writes to Timothy. He says, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions." Do you hear that? Perseverance, persecutions, afflictions. Those are usually not words you keep on your refrigerator, are they? But they're right here. Persecutions, afflictions, perseverance, which happened to me. Paul's testifying. This is what I endured. I'm telling you to endure. This is what I had to endure. You were with me when I did it. He said, which happened to me at Antioch or Iconium at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly lives, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. All those who live godly lives in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Now notice exactly what he's saying. Exactly, he says, all those who desire to live godly lives will suffer persecution. You can say you're a Christian. You can confess Christ. You can even say you believe in Jesus. Now, the world may not particularly like that, but it won't bring the persecution that comes when a person desires to live a godly life in Christ Jesus. You see, as long as we just do what the world does, sleep with ever who we want to, behave ever how we want to, do whatever we want to, as long as we're just mimicking them and doing what they're doing, then what we're saying is not going to bother them that much. But when you desire to live godly, in other words, actually live out the life of Christ, now all of a sudden, your light's shining, your love is coming like a tsunami. That's something that they can't handle. They'll either bow to it and humble themselves and confess Christ or wage war. It's those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus that brings the persecution. When our values are different than the world's values, when we say, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I love you. That's your choice, but I just can't do that. Then a line's drawn. And people always interpret it, well, you're judging me. How bigoted. How narrow-minded. No, I love Jesus, and this is the way He said that we're to live, and I believe His way is the best way. I invite you to it. You're going to be blessed. It's going to be the best life that you can live. There's a sense in which if we could live out the Christ life as He did, that's the best campaign to see the enemy's empire toppled that there is. That's all Paul did when he walked into Ephesus that was controlled by the demonic. He preached Jesus Christ and Him crucified under the power of the Holy Ghost. And heart by heart, men and women and boys and girls began to convert to Christ. And it just started to grow and move. We're here this morning because of that. So the devil is your foe. There is a war, I'm just saying, there is a war that we have to fight. And there's a way we have to fight that war. The devil wants to destroy you. And he only works through deception in the flesh. So if he can trick us into buying into his bill of goods, then he doesn't have to contend against us. The Christian life can be hard. The devil is your foe. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, Paul names names. He tells Timothy, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him. Notice that. He's leaving the vengeance to the Lord. May the Lord repay him. It does come across like it'd be all right with Paul, though. I'm just saying. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. Here's this young pastor. You got Alexander the coppersmith. Now, if you remember the story, the stories of these churches, a lot of the when Paul would go into a city, like when he went into Philippi, and there was the maiden with the spirit of divination, that these guys were profiting off of her. They would use her, the spirit of divination on her, to sell their trinkets and idols for people that were going to the temple and those pagan temples and worshiping. And so their pocketbook was growing. Well, she kept following Paul and his crew around one day, saying her stuff. Finally, he just turns and he says, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her, and delivered that girl from that demon and turned those craftsmen's apple cart over, so to speak. In other words, she was their front person for their business, and now she's out of the picture. And so they started coming against Paul. And Alexander, he may have been out of that cut, I don't know. But whoever he was causing Paul problems. And Paul warned Timothy. Said he resists your words. So in this warfare, not everybody's going to receive your words. In this warfare, there will be people who will try to deceive you. In this warfare, you will be persecuted for living a godly life in Christ Jesus. But what the enemy wants to do is to get you responding the way the world responds. Because at that point, instead of following the orders of the one who has enlisted you, you're not getting your orders from headquarters, but they're coming across from enemy lines. And now you are in agreement with the enemy's agenda instead of your commander's agenda. And that creates chaos in the army of God. The devil is your foe, and he's a sly one at that. Now, when Jesus was tempted, the first one was, he basically came against Satan. He was tempted to turn the stones into bread. He said, I'm going to live on what God says. I'm not going to listen to what you're saying. I'm going to live on what God says. Then he was tempted to jump off the temple. You remember? If you're God's son, I'm not going to allow the enemy with his agenda to try to make me prove who I am. This is so important that we understand who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ. Religion wants you to prove your allegiance. Religion wants you to prove the depth of who you are. Religion wants you to prove. Christianity, you live out who you really are. You live out Christ. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. And the third one, I'll give you the kingdoms if you'll bow. Jesus was saying, I'm not bowing to anyone else but God. And that's three important lessons. I'm going to do what God says, and I'm not going to be deceived into trying to prove who I am, and I'm not going to bow to anyone or anything else but Jesus Christ. So that's part of our warfare. The third thing, and very importantly, is you need to remember, God does not always allow an easy way through hard times. God does not always allow an easy way through hard times. When things are hard, it's not always necessarily the devil. And when things are easy, it's not always God. But God does not always allow an easy way through hard times. Notice what Paul writes to Timothy. He says,
that you want to be a good soldier, that you may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. The soldier wants to please the one who has enlisted him. We've been called by God. We've been enlisted into his army by our commander-in-chief, the Lord Jesus Christ. So our purest motive is to please him, to want to please him. You may not always enjoy doing what God has given you to do. You may not always enjoy going where God sends you to go. You may not always enjoy saying what God gives you to say. God does not always allow an easy way through hard times. Do you think it's right for a parent to correct their children? How many of you find that easy? But we know it's right, correct? Now, can it be done wrongly? You can do the right thing the wrong way. God doesn't always allow an easy way through hard times. We learn that in those of us who parent. You realize that sometimes a child is wanting to do things that they're not in the place in their growth development to be able to do those things. And you have to say, no, you can't do that. Like, if your six-year-old wants to drive today, you need to red X that right away. Not only is it illegal, it's dumb. Okay? And then there's times that your child will not want to do things, and you realize they're at the age they need to start doing that thing for themselves. How many of you get excited about potty training? But there comes a time like, no, they need to learn, right? And that's true of other areas in their life. And God doesn't allow an easy way always through hard times, and neither does a good parent, and he's the perfect parent. I heard maybe a year or so ago a man telling a story. This was posted on a video on Facebook a year or so ago. It was during the shutdown. And I remember how it touched my heart. And as I listened to him tell the story, you kind of go through these different emotions like, man, you get mad at this guy. But let me tell you the story. Here's the story. He is a construction guy, and so he had to go to Home Depot one day, and he needed to buy 12 bags of the 80-pound Quikrete. You know, concrete in the bags? 80 pounds. So he goes in, and he pays for his 12 bags, and then he pulls his truck around to the loading dock where he's going to pick it up. Well, another guy was backed up the loading dock, and he was unloading Quikrete. He had done a job, and that's not unusual. He had bought several bags too many. And he pulled up beside the guy and he said, hey, instead of putting that up there on there, let's just take that off your truck and put it on my truck. It'll save both of us a little work. And he said, well, how many you need? 12? He said, well, I got 12 left here. So they started taking off the 12 bags. They got 11 of them off. And that last bag was up against the back of the cab in that pickup. And the man who had brought the Quikrete back had his eight, nine-year-old son with him. And he told him, he said, son, jump up in the back of that pickup and pull that bag back here so we can load it on this man's truck. And so the little boy, he jumped up there and he went up to the back of that truck and he got a hold of that bag and he's trying to move it. And it's 80 pounds. It weighs, as much as he does or more. And he's trying to move it. Daddy, it's too heavy. I can't do this, Daddy. I can't do this. No, you can do it. Try harder. He grunts and he grunts and he does this for a couple of minutes. And I can't, Daddy. Yes, you're going to do that. Now you move that Quikrete. Little boy starts crying. Daddy, I can't. He says, no, you try. And so he grunts and he's wrestling that thing. And finally it moves a little bit. Moves a little bit. And his daddy said, now keep working. Keep working. You can do it. And he strained. He's crying. He said, he's got stuff running out of his nose and his eyes. He's really upset. He's wrestling that thing, fighting it. He moves it a little bit more. And this, I could stretch this out like he did, but he said that went on like maybe 8 or 10 minutes
Little boy just fighting that thing and just moving it just a little bit at a time. And finally, he gets part of it to the tailgate and part of it falls on the tailgate. And he said, okay, Daddy. And the daddy said, no, all of it's got to be on the tailgate. You're going to finish it. All of it on the tailgate. Well, while he was doing this, the other guy, when it first started, the other guy said, sir, I can jump up there and help that. I don't mind jumping up there and helping that young man. And the man said, no, you don't. You're not going to help him. He's going to do this. He needs to learn there's some things he needs to do on his own. And so the guy said, well, I just kind of backed off. But feeling like we are about it, like, how could he do that, that little boy? And one more time he said, sir, you sure you don't want me to help? He said, no. So he gets it, a part of it's on the tailgate. You got to finish it all. The little boy gets up there and he goes as deep as he can. He gets it on the tailgate and there he is. And they said, and that man said, he was watching this man and the little boy. He said, when that little boy got all of it on the tailgate, said he jumped back, his eyes got big, and he said, Daddy, Daddy, I did it! I did it! Yeah, look what I did! I did this, Daddy! I was able to do this! And the other guy said his daddy was even happier than he was. He said, son, I knew you could do it. I knew you had it in you. Get in this truck now. We've helped this man. I'm going to go buy you an ice cream. And when I heard that, there's something... I mean, at first I'm like, somebody needs to grab that guy by the collar. But it's like Nikki, when she heard it, she said, you know, I felt sorry for that little boy. He shouldn't have done him that way. But the end of it was, he learned a lesson that would go with him the rest of his life. Most of us, we can do more than we think we can do. The way to endure and go through something is go all the way through it. Be faithful. Soldier on. God's not going to always allow us to have the easy way out. We need to flex our muscles and learn. We build muscle through those times. I had someone after the early service come and share with me. They'd gone through a lot of tough times and shared with, you know, he said, there for a long time, and he said, just recently I was reading and realizing it's not just through the good times that you learn and grow, but even in the bad times. And, you know, sometimes it's especially so in the times of difficulty. Because when we're at the end of ourselves, like the little boy, it's like from somewhere comes the strength. God will be faithful. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't need each other. I'm about to get into that. That doesn't mean we shouldn't allow people to help us. But see, there are times that we're going through things, and from the Lord's perspective, no, you've got to learn this. I'm not going to let somebody bail you out. You've got to do the hard thing. You've got to start dealing with it. You've got to be real about this. You've got to be honest about this. It's time to deal with it. Most of us in our Christian journey, and this has always amazed me, is how you can have something in your life, maybe an area of weakness or something that you know needs to be tweaked, you need to change, and how God, you may be 20 years in, and it's just like out of nowhere, all of a sudden, God confronts that in you. And like before, yeah, I'm going to get around to that. Yeah, I know I need to work on that. But like, nope, it's time. It's time. This is going to have to stop, and this is going to have to change. And it's, I believe those are times when, I know there's sometimes when I pray with people, a prayer that I've learned to pray through the years is like, particularly, people have loved ones and they're away from the Lord, and it's like they're just not, it's like, almost like they're unreachable. It's just like bouncing BBs off concrete, nothing sticking, you know, the good stuff. And it's just, and a lot of times I'll pray with them and we'll pray, Lord, we bring this loved one to you in the name of Jesus. Pray your Holy Spirit would move upon them. Lord, we pray the enemy would just be bound away. But God, we pray that you would be as severe as you need to be, but as merciful as you can be to bring them to the place they need to be. Don't you find that in your parenting? That if this, you know, if the easy type of correction, like, no, don't, I don't want you to do that again. And then they do it again. Now, this is your final warning. Don't do that again. If you do, then there's going to be repercussions. Oh, you done it again? Okay, you're grounded for 2 weeks. Or, depending on their age and everything,
you apply correction, you kind of up the ante. And I think the Lord does that with us. He doesn't always allow an easy way through hard times. It's interesting that through the centuries, there has been an adage that's been adopted that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Yeah, there's some folks that went the distance, strapped to a pole, and a fire set at their feet. And they're confessing Christ with their last breaths in the midst of the smoke that would take their life. Or they were turned loose in Colosseums in the days of the early church, while the stands were filled with people who had a blood quest. They couldn't wait to see the lions let loose on these men and women, and found pleasure in watching those lions eat them alive. Persecution. Hardship. And when we get to glory, those will be there to give an account of how they lived alongside of each of us, to give an account of how we've lived. Not always easy. Even in nature, when a chicken lays an egg, I think, what is 21 days that it's incubated? You start sensing a little movement, maybe hear a little peck. And part of your heart just wants to maybe crack that shell a little bit and help that little chick out of there. You know, my goodness, bless it. It's struggling, trying to get out. And let's help it. If you help it, you'll kill it. Because the biologists and scientists tell us that it's in that process of struggle, that little chicken having to peck its way out, that very process is what gives it the strength and muscle that once it's outside the shell, to be able to spread its little wings, lift its little feet, and live its little life until it makes its way to Chick-fil-A. But that's probably a good time to go on to my last point. Faithful friends will be there to help you. It's amazing how this works. We're the family of God. We're the army of God. We're the household of God. We're the sons and daughters of God. We're the body of Christ. And we're in this together. And I've already shared, there are sometimes the Lord's like, no, you've got to go through this. But in the realm of the Spirit, when that is happening, and you're having to do things on your own, that doesn't mean He doesn't have 100 people over here in their prayer closet bringing your name up before Him. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Jesus has already promised you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We're really not alone even when we feel alone. Faithful friends will be there to help. Literally, one of the interpretations of this verse about endure hardship as a good soldier is to endure hardship with someone as a true partner or as a co-sufferer. And even when Paul talks about how everyone forsook him, like Demas forsook me and only Luke remains, or I stood before them and no man was with me, but the Lord was with me. Thank God for His faithfulness and thank God for faithful friends. When I was a teenager, it was one summer day, and we got a phone call, an urgent phone call. We did, and several in our neighborhood did. When I say neighborhood, we live like a quarter mile apart. We're out in the country. But several of us showed up down at Earl's house. Earl was one of our neighbors. Earl's house was pretty close to some what we call strip pit ponds. Strip mining had, around where I grew up, strip mining was everywhere, and there was a lot of big ponds. That's before the Reclamation Act, when they came in and had to level everything. There's just a lot of ponds everywhere. Earl had a big pond behind his house and had some big fish. We'd go down there fishing, and I've spent hours and hours and hours down. I'd snake my way through the woods and go down there and fish as a little boy by myself and just fish all day. We got a call that Earl was down at the pond. They had been draining the pond, and he was stuck and needed help. His son had come upon him and found him, and he couldn't get him out, so they began to call neighbors. So we showed up. And we got there, the pond had drained down. It was still a pretty good-sized pond, but it had drained down. And, of course, where it drained away, that was just muddy ground. And it got down small enough, you could see those big old fish wiggling around in the water. And Earl got him a bright idea. He was going to snag him some of those fish. So he started walking on that mud down to that pond, and the further he walked, the deeper he got. He had a pair of lace-up rubber boots on. There's no hyperbole in this story. I'm giving you a first-hand report of a witness on the scene as it happened. We got there, and by the time we got there, Earl was up to here in the mud. And his son had been pulling him, and of course that was hurting him to be pulled that way. So we all kind of got together and made a human chain. Two or three got a hold of Earl and started pulling him. This went on for quite some time. He's in agony. And we were able to finally pull him up out of that mud. And he came out of there barefooted. Pulled him out of a pair of laced up rubber boots. Now he is probably 6 inches taller than he was. Now that part is hyperbole. But we stretched that man getting him out of there. That man would have died. He would have gone deeper and deeper. The more he struggled, the deeper he went. And sometimes in our walk, it's like we get stuck like that. And the more we struggle on our own, the deeper we get. I want to encourage you, stay connected. Stay connected to believers. Stay connected to God's family. Stay connected. Soldier on. Stay connected. Because a lot of times your faithful friends that are going to help you out are going to be from among those you're connected with. Not always, but a lot of times. If you're not connected, get connected. Don't live on an island doing this thing. There may be someday you're stuck in the mud and you're trying everything you can. You're just going deeper and you need some help. Paul, just take some time the next day or two. Just read the last couple of chapters of 2 Timothy, if you don't want to take the time to read it all, and just underline all the different names of people he had relationship with.
There's a bunch of them. He even tells Timothy, Demas has forsaken me. Luke's here. I want you to come before winter and bring that coat. He's telling him, I know I'm going to die soon, but come before winter and bring the parchment, bring the books, bring my coat. He had someone he could call on. Do you? Have you been that friend to someone else? At different times through our lives, we're the friend that's there to help someone up. And at other times, they're the friends that's there to help us up. But that's the way we're called to live our lives. And there are no perfect Christians in this room. And I don't think I'd have to prophesy to say there's no perfect, there's no Christians in the room that don't have to deal with some hardships. But the enemy knows that, so he wants to separate us from the herd. He wants to get us in the flesh and doing things on our own, or get us deceived and get our eyes off Jesus. But I want to encourage you this morning, if you're in hard times today, soldier on. The Christian life can be hard, but you've got the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to help you. Faithful is He who's called you, who also will do it. He who's begun a good work in you will bring it to completion. The devil may be your foe, but you've been made to be an overcomer in the name of Jesus, in the blood of Christ, by the Spirit of God, and with the prayers of the saints of God. God does not always allow an easy way through hard times, but He said, I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. I'll watch over my promises over your life to make sure that they are fulfilled. I'll send someone your way, if they're needed. And when you're stuck, there'll be someone to help you out. You can bank on this. I believe these are truths from God's Word. So I want you to stand with me. Our worship team is coming forth. And I just pray that there would be an absolute download of encouragement and revelation right now to come to each and every one of us, that we could say that as we leave here today, we are stronger than when we came. I can already say that. I was refreshed during the time of worship this morning. These songs even sang to these truths today. I just love the way the Lord does that. If you're struggling this morning, today may be one of those times when you just turn to someone at your side or some friend in the audience, or our altar workers coming right now, our staff leaders, altar workers, they're coming right now. They'll come up here. These are friends that will pray with you, that are here for you, to get a hold of heaven on your behalf with you. Or it may be one of those times that you go to someone and say, you know, you're my buddy. Would you just pray for me right now? Let's get rid of any of the plastic, the inauthentic, this. Let's be real with each other. If you need prayer, then you come. If you need someone to pray with you, feel free to share your heart. God is faithful. So Holy Spirit, as you move across this room right now, I pray for the person that's struggling. I ask, Lord, and we are asking in agreement as a church family this morning, that you would let your power and your strength touch them, strengthen their heart. May there be encouragement where discouragement has been. May there be truth where any deception has been. May there be freedom where any bondage may be. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that your grace would just begin to be imparted across the room as we open our hearts and we say, yes, Lord, more, Lord. Holy Spirit, have your way in the life of every person here this morning. If you're weak, tell Him, Lord, I'm weak. I need your strength. If you're confused, tell Him, Lord, I'm confused. I need your wisdom. I need your peace. Lord, I don't know what to do. Just tell Him. But I'm looking to you. Just be honest with Him. Anyone else, step out from where you are and come forward in the name of Jesus. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, there will come a day when you will confess Him as Lord. Make sure it's not too late. Do it today. If you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, if you'll call on His name, He will save you. And we'll be happy to pray with you to help you through that. you're not connected and you believe God is calling you to be a part of this church family, we welcome you to come. Come and share that with any of these here. They'll welcome you, pray with you, and tell you what you need to do. Whatever needs you may have, call upon Him right now. We're going to begin to worship. Just step out and come forward as the Lord speaks to you. How will you respond? Are you manifesting Jesus? Are you living life this way? Do you desire to live a godly life? Would you come as we begin?
Your love is higher than the mountains. Your grace is deeper than the sea. Your mercy never ceases to amaze.
Are there any others? You come.
Day after day.
We thank you for this incredible word we've heard this morning. Lord, I pray as we leave today, this will find lodging in all our hearts. I pray, Lord, as we leave today, we, like those of old that said we may burn, but we're not going to bow. They counted those in the fire. They found the fourth man was in there with them. Lord, we want to thank you that we don't go through anything alone. The fourth man's always there. The second man. Jesus said, as we've heard this morning, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. So, Lord, thank you. Bless you for sending us this challenging but encouraging word. And Lord, we pray for one another. We want to be a help, not a hinder. We want to lift up each other. We want to love one another like you love us. So as we leave today, our hearts join together when we say, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you, and may the Lord make His face shine on you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May He lift up His countenance upon you. May He give you His peace. All of God's people shouted amen. God bless you all. Love on somebody before you leave.